And we're back on season 3's installment of Time and a Half with Brother Charles. I am your host, Brother Charles. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. We're doing our thing. Bigger and better than ever. This is the Just Do It episode. Hope everyone had a great summer and is ready for a great year. It's a lot of announcements, a lot of things going on, a lot of things that need to be discussed. First things first, it's senior year. For your boy, it's been a long time coming. Seen it, done it. Getting ready to do some other things. We got grad school. We got jobs. We got all these different things that are looking up, that are looking good. I'm feeling blessed. My posse, we about to walk across that stage come May. But here, Time and a Half, we're going to keep it simple. We're going to keep doing what we've been doing. We're going to give you the good conversation, give you the good topics, give you the good subjects, but also give you that good music that makes you that's gonna make you feel good. I'm excited to be back, man. This is like coming back home. I love the WJRH studio. Oh, by the way, you are listening to WJRH 104.9 FM Lafayette College Radio in Eastern Pennsylvania. It feels good. They finally upgraded the access to get inside the radio station, so I don't gotta swipe my card 8 times. Shout out to Ben for fixing my checkpoint so I can just beep on in this jump. There's a couple updates over the summer. Did my thing. CBRE Commercial Real Estate in D.C. Started some applications to, a couple upstanding institutions and all that good stuff. But also just made sure I kept my ear to the streets when it came to what was going on in the country, going on in my area. So today I want to talk about a lot of things that are going on, but mostly in the ways in which the black community has been responding. So I want to talk about two things. I want to talk about Kaepernick and the way that he finessed the NFL more so than anybody in the history of the league. And also I want to talk about this Bill Cosby verdict that are having people do backflips in more ways than one. But first, we got to give you that groove. So up next, we have Turning Me Up by BJ the Chicago Kid. It's a somewhat oldie, but a goodie. Keep listening. Keep rocking with me. This is Time and a Half with Brother Charles.
Turn me up a little bit more. Baby, keep on turning me up. Yeah. Baby, keep on turning me up. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's just the
Alright, welcome back to Time and a Half with Brother Charles. Let's get right into it. Once again, this is the Just Do It episode. Right now, we're talking about Kaepernick and the way he's been finessing for a long time. If you have been living under a rock or just not familiar with the complexity that is American football and the politics that go along with it, Colin Kaepernick started protesting the national... protesting during the national anthem about, I want to say, 2 years ago now. Yeah, about 2 years ago, he first was sitting, and then after meeting with a veteran, decided to kneel. during the national anthem, and the national anthem plays pretty much every football game. At every football game, I don't know why I'm saying pretty much. And the reason behind this protest was, you know, to bring to light the ways in which black and brown people are treated in this country. I'm talking about mostly police brutality and the ways in which it has negatively affected black men and women. So as a result, he was ostracized by many different NFL teams, NFL media, just the media in general, and was pushed out basically out of the league. He hasn't played in the NFL, I think, since 2017. And, you know, a lot of people were, you know, during the time he started his own foundation, I Know My Rights Foundation. It's done a lot for young POC, people of color, to be prepared when interacting with police and knowing their rights. So he's taken, you know, a negative, what would be deemed as a negative situation, and turned it around. And is a really respectable brother, very well spoken, eloquent, always had, you could tell, always had pondered on what he was going to speak on before he was interviewed, always prepared. Pretty low-key dude, like, even when he was in the league, like, wasn't very braggadocious, like, very upstanding individual, and has kind of kept that same persona this whole entire time. Level-headed, I think, would be a good way to describe Colin Kaepernick. And a lot of people were wondering, like, dude, how are you even funding your life now? You go from making millions of dollars to kind of just asking for donations and doing your best to fund your own organization. But turns out, for like the last year and a half, Nike has been paying Colin Kaepernick and has now presented him as like a poster boy for their new campaign, their new ad campaign. And they unveiled it like the opening, on one of the opening nights of the NFL season. And as a result, like, some people have, like, boycotted Nike and started covering up the Nike swoosh and all these different things. And it is kind of cool to see, like, the way that he, you know, he kind of finessed the system. Everybody knows a Nike ad campaign, being the poster boy for that joint is a very pretty penny. So congratulations to him on that side. The thing that upsets me, though, right, and the thing that I think needs to be unpacked more is the way in which the black community responds to things like that, right? So it is dope that Nike decided to, you know, use Colin Kaepernick and kind of say, you know, F you to the NFL and all their bigotry and the things that go along with that. And when we look at the NFL and the way that ownership is made up and the demographics within NFL ownership versus the demographics of players, it is remnant of, you know, kind of a slave master versus slave mentality when it comes to, you know, the ways that owners look at players, right? That they own them, they can dictate how their lives maneuver and stuff like that. So taking a stand, not only just for police brutality, but taking a stand against the mechanism that is the NFL, is admirable, especially for individuals who still with Colin Kaepernick in his time in the league. What gives me pause, though, is how heavily black folk are ready to kind of like stand by Nike in the wake of this. So it is cool when companies, you know, are, I guess, in favor of protests because it recognizes the validity of it, right? But let's not disregard the fact that we live in a very extremely capitalist society, right? And as a result of us living in a capitalist society, there are certain things that companies are going to do right? That may look good on the surface, but when we look past the surface, everything that a company does, unless it's usually, well, nah, let's not even say that. Everything that a company does, especially a company like Nike, is they do it, right, with dollar signs in mind. That's not hard to fathom. That's not hard to really recognize. Like, despite whatever boycott people thought they was doing, Nike stock has gone up significantly. I think it's broken records as a result of this ad campaign. And I scroll down my timelines, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, whatever the term is. And I see people, you know, going out of their way to go purchase Nike now. And, you know, I see celebrities throwing the Nike on. And it as my time here has progressed and my time here at Lafayette, I've always noticed that protesting and standing for a cause, there's three types of people when it comes to a cause. There are people who are actually for the cause. There are people who are against the cause, right? All right, I'll add a fourth. There's people who are on the fence, right? And then there are people who are with the cause only because it looks cool to be with the cause, right? And it pains me because I know how much economic buying power that the black community has. And companies know that more so than anybody else. There's so many articles out there that talk about, and if we're looking at marketing, how much money companies spend on marketing towards the black community, because they know that sometimes, not all the time, we don't always buy into it, but a lot of times, it doesn't take a lot for us to be easily swayed towards something because of how badly we're treated. So when a company says, hey, stop treating black people badly, we're ready to throw all our bread at it. And that's just a testament to how we've been conditioned in this country, right? We've been treated so badly continuously, right, that when somebody outside of our community says something along the lines of like, hey, black people's humanity matters, we're ready to do backflips and congratulate them, high five, send them to the cookout and all that good stuff. When in reality, this is the standard, right? This is the standard that we need to already have and hold. Like Nike, you know, sponsors so many different black athletes, stuff like that. And people think that if Nike's cutting a check, then that's the same thing as reparations, that's the same thing as, you know, really valuing and investing in our community. But that's not the same thing, right? Think about how many black bodies have, you know, been in Nike, right? But have helped Nike benefit, have boosted Nike. Like, Nike would be nothing without Michael Jordan and, like, the Jordan shoe. And there was a black man in that. But also, the capitalism in itself is such a cancer in this country, because it's really kind of just jumped on anything, any cause, any issue, and just slapped a dollar amount on it instead of really recognizing the root and the truth behind it, right? So, like, I've seen people start putting, like, the Black Power Fist over a Nike swoosh and all these other things. If we look into Nike and who they've supported over the years, it kind of juxtaposes this new cause that they found themselves in. And I think that it's definitely time for black people to start looking past the surface and past the commercial, right? After you watch the commercial, be like, yes, cool and all. But also recognize, like, what the company is really doing, who is really helping. Because when we start doing that, we start recognizing that they're not always in our favor. They're just doing it so their stocks can go up. And those same people who are disenfranchising us in the first place can keep padding their pockets. But yeah, so it was a cool campaign. It's a dope ad. It's something along the lines of like, Let me look it up. Because it is a great quote. But there's always more to it. I think the ad says something along the lines of believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything, right? And that's in testament to what Colin Kaepernick did by maneuvering the NFL, right? And Nike was, you know, instrumental in getting that ad everywhere. But I think we're owed more than that. I think we're more owed more than just an advertisement, right? We're owed, like, actual investment into our communities that birth these athletes that Nike just sucks dry until their career is over, right? We're owed investment back into organizations like Colin Kaepernick's that are really trying to prepare black and brown boys and girls for a lifetime of possible police brutality every time they walk outside their door, or they don't even have to leave their door. We're owed more than just, you know, quick commercials or catchy jingles or figures who stand in front and say that they're for the cause, but when in reality they're just cutting the check. We're owed more than that. And I think that it's time that we as a community recognize that and move accordingly. I'm wrapping y'all up for a little bit. We're going to keep it going. This is On My Mind by Georgia Smith, because it's a lot on my mind here at Time and a Half. Keep listening. Keep rocking with me.
Don't want to feel you. Don't want you on my mind. Don't want to feel you. Don't want you on my mind. Don't want to feel you. Don't want you on my mind. On my mind. On my mind. 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 Mind.
Predator.
Once again, you're listening to WJRH 104.9 FM, Lafayette College Radio in Easton, Pennsylvania. Quick shout out to the homie Lisa over at La Farm. Had a great time last week. Lisa like runs La Farm with her husband Anton. Good people. I showed mad love last week when I was there. I had a great time. We did yoga. I ate grape tomatoes off the vine. Stopped eating meat for like 2 days. But make sure y'all out here eating y'all fruits and y'all vegetables. I'm getting it straight from the source too. Sometimes you think you're eating healthy, but you got wax and pesticides all up on your stuff. So support your local farmers markets. Grow it from the ground. Get you a garden. All that. Back to the lecture at hand. This is the Just Do It episode. We're talking about the ways in which certain things have affected our community and the ways in which we can respond. If you didn't know, Bill Cosby got sentenced to 3 to 10 years yesterday as a result of raping a woman, I think, a couple decades ago. And the responses to this has really been crazy. It always has baffled me the ways in which people respond to sexual assault. I'm going to put it like this. If somebody, let's say somebody took out one of your family members in the 80s. You witnessed it. All that good stuff. Right? You saw it. Never had a chance to report it because it was just too detrimental to, you know, your family, to your mental health. Like, it was a prominent figure, so you didn't think anything was going to happen to him. 20 years later, you know, you go to the police, you're like, look, this person murdered my family member. I think it's time to get justice, right? There's a prominent figure. He done sent people to school. He done, you know, donated millions of dollars, made multiple shows, really changed the culture for a lot of different people. But to you, he's a murderer. And people are like, oh, he got to go to jail, right? But then there's some people like, well, it happened a couple of decades ago. Like, why are you just coming forward now? Like, yada, yada, yada. And the finger gets placed on you, a victim, right? Instead of just the finger being pointed at the person who actually committed the crime. This is the commentary that I've heard, right, when it comes to Bill Cosby. And it's amazing to me because it's like, look, Bill Cosby did change the culture. Cosby Show was one of the first shows of its kind to place black people in a positive light. Started a lot of black actors' careers, put a lot of people on. Different world. Another creation of his. Inspired a lot of black folk to go to HBCUs. Go to college in general. As a result, he was funding a lot of HBCUs as a result. Right? Very philanthropic. You know what I'm saying? Was a father figure to a lot of folk growing up in the 80s and the 90s. But at the same time, Bill was out here raping. I don't know why it's that hard to fathom, right, and understand. I read a thread a couple of days ago that was very interesting. And when it comes to sexual assault, it's very important to understand this, right? In a lot of sexual assault cases, right, and this is going on with the Brett Kavavana. I don't know how to pronounce his name. The guy who's up for Supreme Court who has been accused of sexual assault, right? Every time that a man is up for sexual assault, it's the victim versus the people that know him best saying that they know him as all these positive things, right? And if you put Bill Cosby up on the stage, somebody's going to say he's a philanthropist. He was a TV personality. He was, you know, an inspirer to many. He's a comedian. He's a great dad. Yada, yada, yada. He can be all those things, right? And still be a rapist, right? Brett Kavavana, whatever, right? There's people who have been out here talking about his character. And to them, all of that could be true. But also the testimonies of his victims could also be true, right? And I think that it's time that the black community, and I know that we don't get a lot of figures, right? And it has been proven that a lot of black figures are, you know, targeted by the government, by the media, whoever, right? But that does not excuse the fact that when somebody does something wrong and heinous and completely obliterates somebody's innocence in their life, right, that doesn't excuse them from their wrongdoings. Understand me when I tell you, like, the black folk really are, you know, making every excuse like it happened a couple decades ago. If somebody in your family was affected by something decades ago, you would still want whoever did that to receive justice. Right? Just because somebody is black does not excuse them from being a bad person. Say it again. Just because somebody is black, it does not excuse them from being a bad person. At the same time, yes, completely livid that all these individuals, like, we have a president right now who has been accused of sexual assault who is still president. Like, all these court proceedings are happening for somebody who could possibly be on the Supreme Court, but we're literally, our commander-in-chief should literally have been in the same boat November 2016. Right? That isn't fair. Right? It is a testament to how racist our judicial system is and negligent our judicial system is. Like, it is such a double standard, it's ridiculous, right? We can name endless different cases where that happens, where black folk get sentenced 3 times the rate, 10 times the rate than their white counterparts, right? That's proven fact. But that does not excuse an individual from doing something that is wrong. Are we just not going to hold bad individuals accountable, period, until the system is fixed? Because that, if that's the case, then there's going to be a lot of bad people out in these streets. Right? We can't excuse wrongdoing just for the sake of the fact of who was doing the wrongdoing. We as a community need to hold our individuals accountable just like anybody else. Because if we could just take our hands off situations as a whole just because they look like us, we're allowing folks to control the rhetoric regardless. So at least if we are going to have our hands in something, we need to have our hands on it in the right way and hold people accountable in the right way, regardless of who they are, regardless of what they've done. And this goes back to, once again, the ways in which black folk have been conditioned in this country, where we're so used to negative perceptions of us in the media, right, on television and stuff like that, that the first individual that we see to do something positive on a grandiose scale, we have this weird attachment to him where we place him on this pedestal where he can do no wrong. The same thing happens with R. Kelly, right? Why are black folks still so comfortable? Why are some black folks so comfortable still playing R. Kelly tracks? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me, yo. Like, R. Kelly is a proven pedophile. He has abused so many different individuals within the community for years, right? But because he made good music, we give him a pass, right? Like, that doesn't make any sense. Just because they're within our community, right? We do have to hold our own and protect our own, but we have to hold our own accountable just as much. It's a detriment to our own community when we don't hold predators within our community accountable, regardless of who they are and regardless of what they've accomplished. Straight like that. It's juxtaposing a situation, right? It's discrediting, right, the individuals, the victims in the situation, to not hold individuals accountable. The victims of R. Kelly, the victims of Bill Cosby, fall within our community. There are black women who are affected by these men, right? So you holding him accountable is not you betraying your community, because you're protecting your community from somebody who is a detriment to your community. Just because they did something positive doesn't mean that it cancels out the negative things that they've done. And I need my brothers and my sisters to understand that, right? Millions of dollars, cool. influential on and off screen. Cool. Paved the way for a lot of comedians. Paved the way for a lot of actors. Cool. But you're still a bad guy. At the end of the day. That's a possibility. Right? Understand me when I tell you. There's a possibility. And this goes for anybody who is looking at these sexual assault cases. Right? And there's always like this opportunity for people to talk about and discuss character, as if somebody's character towards one person can't be different towards the other, right? You're not going to act the same way with your mother as you do with somebody who could potentially be a victim of sexual assault. I never really understood that. Like, of course, your friends and the people that know you the best are going to say nice things about you, right? And that's their truth. But that shouldn't automatically discredit a survivor's truth. And that's something that I think a lot of people can't fathom, because the way that we've already set our judicial system up, right, and our proceedings up, is it's either one or the other. You either good or you bad. Instead of somebody having some good or doing some good or doing some bad. And that's something that we really need to focus on, regardless of who's sitting on the stand. Just food for thought. Here, time and a half. We keeping it funky, keeping it real. But we don't want to get too deep. And that's a good transition into this next song called "Too Deep" by Division, one of my favorites. This is Time and a Half with Brother Charles. Keep rocking with me.
Thank you. you got me mesmerized with your black hair and your fat ass thighs. Street poetry is my everyday, but yo, I gotta stop. You drop my weight. If I was working at the club, you would not pay. Ayo, my man Fife Diggy, he got something to say.
I like him brown, yellow, Puerto Rican, a Haitian. Name is Fife Dog from the Zulu Nation. Told you in the jam that we could get down. Now let's knock the boots like the group H-Town. You got BBD all on your bedroom wall, but I'm above the rim and this is how I ball. A gritty little something on the New York street. This is how I represent over this here beat. Talking about you.
Yo, I took you out, but sex was on my mind for the whole damn.
And we're back on Time and a Half with Brother Charles. It's coming to a close. And as I do, just want to give a special shout out to my sister, Kayla, doing her thing. Sister Kara, she doing hers. My Dukes, of course. My support system back at the crib. Also want to give a shout out to just everybody who's been rocking with me for these past like 3 years. It's crazy. I remember my first show, man. I was so nervous, sweating bullets. And in the studio, man, if nobody's ever really been in here, but it's like the size of, I would guess, like a usual single. It gets pretty hot in here sometimes, but it's definitely been a good exhale for me. Some of the most stressful weeks, like, I don't care what's going on. I'll make the time for this hour, man. It's always been good for my mental. But as I wrap up, I want to make sure I emphasize that black folk in this country have gone through a lot. That's not a secret. If that's news to you, read a history book. One written by us, actually. And it makes me sad because the way we have been treated for centuries has blinded us in some ways and hardened us in some ways. Going back to the Colin Kaepernick and Nike situation, I want to say again, like, we've been treated so badly, right, that we get so excited sometimes when somebody simply just recognizes our humanity. And that, to me, is problematic. And we deserve more than that, right? We deserve to get excited about more than that. And going back to the Cosby situation, it's hardened us in ways where we have felt the need so much to retreat within ourselves sometimes, right, and take care of our own sometimes, that we welcome in and we congratulate and we console individuals who deserve to be ostracized and deserve to be condemned, right, and we disregard that and we become hardened to people's situations, right. We become hardened to individuals who can label themselves as victims and survivors of heinous acts simply because we want to remain loyal to our race. And there's a level of understanding that goes along with that, right? But we have to start recognizing the detrimental aspects of that behavior. Right, we can't fully heal if we keep welcoming and making excuses for individuals who are doing harm within our community, and then continuing to mask it, you know, either with money or entertainment or things along those lines. If we are serious about healing our communities, we have to expel things that are detrimental to it. And that comes in the form of individuals who rape, right? Who sexually assault and objectify our women, right? And that's on all, in all sectors, right? We're not just talking about individuals like Bill Cosby who rape however many women. We're talking about individuals who you know, follow sisters down the street and call them out their name if they disregard, you know, disregard them or just try to ignore them, as if they, those sisters probably aren't fearing for their life, or just simply don't want to talk to you, right? If we're making cases for individuals, for brothers, and for individuals who put their hands on women, and for making cases for individuals who call women out their name for no real good reason, right? If we're going to protect ourselves as a community, we have to do away with things that we adopted from our oppressors, right? Objectification is a symptom, right, that we saw from our oppressor and we adopted, because it's easier to adopt the things that you've learned, the things that you've seen, instead of going against the grain and operating and maneuvering at a higher level, right? It's easy for me to objectify my woman, right, and say she belongs to me in a way that places me above her. It's harder for me to recognize her as divine and say her belonging to me is divine, thus makes me divine, right? And that means I have to place myself and hold myself to a certain level and hold myself accountable with my behavior and the things that come out of my mouth, right? Because if I believe she is divine and she belongs to me and I am divine as a result of her, then I have to act accordingly, right? And that takes years of unlearning, right, in order to do so. Yeah, my mother's preaching in the comments about one's purpose and recognizing one's purpose. And we as a community, when we were stolen and brought here, right, our oppressors wanted to do away with us believing that we had a purpose in the first place, right? And it's up to us to seek that and recognize ourselves and have a level of self-awareness and self-perception, right, in order to get back to the point where we can recognize our purpose and walk in it. And that's how I'll leave you this week on Time and a Half. We got a little deep, but that's okay, because that's what we do here. Leave you on a good note. Much love to everybody who listened and who showed love on a weekly basis. Show any type of love this week. And this is Any Love by Luther Vandross. Once again, this is Time and a Half with Brother Charles. I'll catch you next time.
Any love, any love.